Good morning. I've got a moral question for you today, and maybe you can provide a judgment for me. Which is worse, a man who's deaf and mute from birth, and he cannot, because of his physical condition, tell anybody about the good news of Jesus Christ, he can't tell anybody about God, or a man who chooses not to listen to the word of God or to proclaim it, for one reason or another, this person does not tell people about God at all. Which is worse? How many of you say the first guy? How many of you say the second guy? Right, because he chooses, freely chooses, not to spread the word of God. And this command today, Ephatha, to be opened, is being given not just to a man 2,000 years ago who didn't have a choice, but to us today who do have a choice. Many of us not choosing to proclaim the gospel. But notice the order in which Jesus works this miracle. He touches the guy's ears first. In fact, in the baptism of a little baby, there's a beautiful prayer towards the end, and unfortunately a lot of priests skip it. It's called the Ephatha prayer. And he touches the baby's ears that they might hear the word of God, and they touch the mouth of the child. Usually they start sucking on my finger and I have to try to retrieve it, right? That God might open their mouth to proclaim the faith of Jesus Christ. But we must, brothers and sisters, first be able to hear it before we can speak it. How many of you here today, in one sentence, could sum up the message of the gospel? How many of you even know what the word gospel means? A lot of you, if I ask you what gospel is, you'd say Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Wrong. Those are gospels, but they're not the gospel. The gospel, first of all, means good news. And if I had to sum it up in my own words, I'd say that I am a sinner and that Jesus died for my sins so that I do not incur eternal punishment and that he offers life and freedom to myself and to everyone in his church. You see, brothers and sisters, it can't just be an objective thing out here. That's the gospel over there, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or the good news, or the preaching of Jesus Christ. But it has to be something that is internalized into each one of us, and not only in our minds, but in our hearts. And so the question really is, what is the gospel for you? Why do you come to church? Why do you call yourself Catholic? I know many of us, we might say, well, because I grew up that way, right? But Jesus desires something much more personal. Look at how he approaches this man in the gospel today. It says that he wets his tongue with saliva, Jesus does, and then puts it on the tongue of the man who's mute. Can you imagine anything more personal, right? It's a touch. It's intimate. It's a gift from God. And guys, the gospel that God wants to give you is a touch. It's intimate and a gift from God. It's not something unattached or impersonal. You, and I stress the you, have to have the gospel message. And once you've heard it, then Jesus gives us a command to speak it, to preach the gospel to the whole world. Now, it's really easy to do when we're in church in here. How many of you make the sign of the cross here in church, but when you're out at McDonald's or wherever else having lunch, you're scared to, or you forget to? I was driving down Kellogg one day, and I'm picking up my rosary. I thought, well, I'm driving across town. I may as well start a rosary, right? And I pick it up, and I get it to my forehead, and I look over, and there's a guy right next to me looking straight across, and I don't know what he was thinking. Why is this guy holding beads to his head? You know? It can feel ridiculous sometimes being a Christian in public, but Jesus is pretty clear about what discipleship means and that it will feel uncomfortable at times. How many of you in your work situations, you hear dirty jokes or talk about impure movies or gossip about some of the people in the office? Is that preaching the gospel? And I know many of us, we do a good job of refraining from it. We say, well, I'm not going to participate in that. Is that preaching the gospel? Yes. Is it the whole gospel? No. Because the whole gospel speaks the truth, which says, brothers and sisters, you shouldn't be doing that. And I don't say that out of condemnation, but out of love for you. It's bringing the gospel, the good news, even into our home lives, not just here at church. What does the good news have to say about your finances? What does the good news have to say about procreation? What does the good news have to say about your purchases? You know, St. Francis is very famous for having said that we should preach the gospel at all times and, if necessary, use words. And it's true that many times our actions do speak louder than our words. So you can let somebody in front of you in traffic or open a door or say thank you, but even non-Christians do those things. What makes you a Christian? What makes you a Catholic? Sometimes, guys, it's necessary to actually speak up, to open our mouths, to proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ. Now, if you do that, you will be persecuted. Jesus told his first apostles, his best friends, while he was here on earth, he said, guys, if you preach the gospel, you will be persecuted and you will suffer even worse than what I do. And indeed, all of the apostles became martyrs. They all died. Got me to wondering, if I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and I have the charge to preach the gospel, and if I preach the gospel on one hand and it should result in persecution, and I'm not experiencing persecution, then am I preaching the gospel? You got to wonder, as a Christian, if you're not being persecuted, are you effectively preaching the gospel? I was down at the chancery a couple weeks ago, and I was sitting down in a meeting with the bishop. It wasn't anything about the parish. And he turned to me and he said, how's the parish going? And of course, I told him how proud I was of all of you, how wonderful Christ the King is. And he said, you know, Father Matt, I haven't gotten a bad call about you yet. And I said, Bishop, it's a sin to lie. And he said, no, seriously, Matt, and he usually does, and I know this, and you don't get upset about it, because there's always somebody who's crazy, right? And they'll call the bishop about anything. So I expected somebody to call the bishop in the 2 years I've been here and complain about something. He says, seriously, no, nobody's called. And so I turned to the bishop and I said, Bishop, I must be doing something wrong because nobody's called, because nobody's reacting to the gospel. Brothers and sisters, when you were baptized, the priest took out sacred chrism used in baptism, confirmation, and holy orders, and he put it on the top of your head, and he anointed you a prophet in the name of Jesus Christ. Think of a prophet. Think of Jonah in the Old Testament. God says, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to tell them to repent. If you've ever seen the VeggieTales version, they're going around slapping each other with raw fish. And so Jonah has to go to Nineveh to tell them, quit slapping each other with fish. It's rude. He says, well, I don't want to go. And he runs the other way. And of course, we know the story of the big whale who spits him out in the other direction. Nathan goes to David when David sinned with Bathsheba. And he's the king. He can lop off anybody's head, as he has just proven with Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba. And Nathan is told to go to the king and tell him he did wrong, that he's committed adultery. And you know what, guys? The same Holy Spirit that inspired Jonah and the same Holy Spirit that inspired and equipped Nathan is the same Holy Spirit that it should inspire and equip you. You have the power within you to be just as bold as Jonah. Now, don't expect to be swallowed by a whale. For one, you live in Kansas, right? But number two, it's in much more, I don't know, in-your-face ways these days that God is asking you to preach the gospel. To maybe not stand up on the corner of a street in a busy city and to tell them they're all going to die for their sins, but to preach the gospel to your coworker or your family member or the person you run into at the grocery store. Today, Jesus says these words to you, Ephatha, be opened. And he says this word for your ears so that you can hear the word of God and understand it not just objectively but subjectively. Because, brothers and sisters, you cannot give what you do not have. So you must first hear. And he gives this command to your mouth so that you will proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. I leave you with this poem today, written by St. Teresa of Avila, who died in 1582. Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now but yours. Christ has no body, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours.